What's up, everybody? Grab your weed, fire it up. It's time for smoking weed and talking mixed martial arts. This is episode number 53. My name is Jared. I'm here with my buddy Paul.
Yo.
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. On today's episode, we're going to take a look back at UFC 244 and the future of the BMF title. We're going to take a look at the upcoming UFC fight night in Moscow. We're also going to talk a little bit about boxing on today's episode. We had a pretty good fight this past weekend with Canelo versus Kovalev. But before we dive into that, we're going to do our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
Today's episode, we're smoking on three delicious strains of premium Las Vegas cannabis. What did you just take a hit of there, Paul?
Pink cookies.
Pink cookies.
Also known as wedding cake.
I wonder why it wound up with two names.
I don't know that.
I do strange know it's cherry pie crossed with Girl Scout cookies.
Can't go wrong with either of those strains.
No, cherry pie's got some Durban poison as its parent, and yep. Another one I forget, but I like it. I like cherry pie.
Me too.
I like the pink cookies. Which name you like better?
Either one. This shit is hella fresh. And I like it. It's got that like hoppy smell.
Yeah, it does. It smells kind of like an IPA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is real fresh. That's some good-looking herb. Got a couple others here. I'm going to hit this. We also got some sour banana sherbet, which, because of its lineage, is also one of my favorites. It's banana sherbet crossed with AJ Sour Diesel.
Okay.
AJ Sour Diesel is just like a phenotype of sour diesel that's really premium.
Okay.
We've also got some Paris OG's French cookies. There's like two different French cookie strains. There's French cookies, then there's Paris OG's French cookies. So this is, one's basically an indica, one's a sativa. Okay. This one that we got, the Paris OG's French cookies, is a indica. And you can kind of guess what its fucking cross is.
I'm going to guess, no, I'm not going to guess.
Paris OG crossed with Girl Scout cookies. So we got a nice little blend of weed. I'm going to hit this. Shit, I forgot what this is already. This is the...
Yeah.
Dude, that's nice.
Yep.
It tastes a little hoppy, too, actually.
Yeah, it's fucking sick.
I like that a lot. Although I'm not a fan of IPA beer, so... Do you like IPA beer?
No. I don't dislike it. I mean, it's not just like the first thing I'm looking for, though.
I actively dislike it. Actively. I like beer. Oh, nice. I like dark beers. I like stouts. I do like light beers, like something simple. Like even something, like if it's going to be cheap beer, like a Corona is probably my favorite cheap beer. But fucking IPAs, I can't get into.
I feel it.
I think they're awful. But I don't mind it in the weed.
I'm not much of a drinker, honestly, at all. I'm pretty lightweight when it comes to drinking, so it's like, I just smoke.
Dude, smoking's better for you than alcohol.
Well, I mean.
Probably lose some pounds, you won't do stupid shit.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not going to drink. I'll do stupid shit.
You do stupid shit like you eat too much. You'll say something stupid. Maybe you'll look goofy. But, you know,
you'll fucking lose shit. I lose shit when I'm baked all the time. It pisses me off.
Dude, I do too.
Then it kills my eye.
Do you lose your remotes?
Yeah, it's the worst. I lose my TV.
I have two remotes for my TV, and they're both black, and half my fucking furniture is black or dark.
Yeah.
I fucking lose them all the time.
Fuck that.
And I don't understand it, because I'll be sitting there. It's just because I'm high, but I won't go nowhere. Like, I just sit there, and somehow my remote disappears.
Fuck.
It's very frustrating.
That's the worst. Or you find out you've been sitting on it the whole time.
I'm going to switch up. We got this other weed. We got this, this is the, this is the French cookies here, but this is also layered with a bunch of keef. This is from that skunkberry we were smoking last week.
It's
like all skunkberry keef, because I went on a skunkberry fucking trip. I didn't smoke anything else for like 2 weeks outside of the show. I don't know. I've been experimenting around a lot with just different terpenes and how they affect your mood.
Uh-huh.
And I found that skunkberry, the terpenes that are in that, and the way the two is, you know, it's blueberry crossed with skunk. The way those two come together in a hybrid, it's just very uplifting, and it made me feel just really like in a happy mood, like specifically more than like, you know, weed always makes you happy, right?
I was gonna say,
but once you smoke a lot, like, you know, I've been smoking weed a long, long time, so have you, but you learn to develop, you can differentiate the variances between herbs and how it makes you feel. Kind of like you can tell the difference between different Cabernet Sauvignons if you're really into wine. But if you just drink a little wine, you're like, this shit all tastes the same. It's fucking red wine.
Yeah.
It tastes like red wine.
Tastes like shit.
But if you know your shit, there's it's all crazy different, right? So it's kind of like that, in my opinion, at least. So I found this weed was really hitting me good. Synergistic effects were.
It's like you ever seen that South Park where Towley comes in and have you seen the new one where he owns his own weed farm now?
No, I have not caught up on the new season
of South Park. All right, so in the new season of South Park, spoiler alert, I guess. Towley is like he comes to certify Stan's dad's weed.
Over Integrity Farms?
Yeah, yeah. So he just, like, puts this in this machine, and he, like, smokes it. He's like, that's some good shit. He's just taking all his weed, and he's like, man, that's some good shit. So that's pretty much how I also rate my weed.
Damn button there. That's funny, man. I gotta get caught up on the new South Park. We haven't seen Towley in a fucking long ass time. Why don't we save this banana sherbet for later in the show? I'll keep smoking on these two. Let's dive into some fucking fights, man. We want to talk first, dude. We could talk boxing, or we could talk that BMF title and all of its fights associated.
Let's start off with boxing because this is not as much to talk about.
Yeah, by boxing, we're talking about Canelo Alvarez making that jump up to light heavyweight of all things.
I'll admit it, dude. I was wrong.
Fighting Sergey Kovalev.
Yeah. Tough motherfucker, I guess.
For his light heavyweight championship. And he's no joke. I mean, he's it's tough as they come.
He fought different this time, too. He didn't stick to the game plan he usually does at the lighter weight classes, which is to kind of rope and dope people, which... I think was smart.
Talking about Canelo fought different.
Yeah, no. Normally he had like a very, I mean at least lately in his career he's kind of adapted more of like a Floyd Mayweather style. But last night was much different than what he's been fighting. Like he was more of the aggressor, walking Kovalev down and trying to put him away the whole time. It seemed like.
Yeah, if you look at the scores, a lot of people had it pretty even after that 10th. However, what did you think of that?
I disagree because. A lot of people were judging off of activity instead of what was landing. Because if we really want to talk about it here, if you look at the stats, I mean, I don't know exactly, but it was something like 131 landed out of 600 thrown for Kovalev going into the last round. So it's like he was active, but if you look at Canelo, he thrown 330 or something like that and landed about the same. They were landing the same, but Kovalev threw twice as many strikes.
We've got somebody throwing at like 20%.
Yeah.
Or lower. And
yeah.
Somebody landing, I mean, at
well, like it was 50%. Like, now it was like 40-ish. Yeah. But the point is...
You're thinking he won the rounds with a lot of missed punches.
Well, he won the rounds with activity because Canelo was kind of picking his shots more, whereas Kovalev was keeping him on the outside with the jab. And not really giving him a chance to come in, tying him up a lot. He also got away with a lot of like weird elbow and shoulder strikes. He got warned about it, I think, in the 8th round by the ref that if he landed another one, that he was going to take a point. But so like they'd get into these tie ups, and Canelo was so much smaller than him. When he'd lean into him, you know, he'd hit him with like a shoulder or like an elbow, just because. You know, not that he was throwing an elbow or a shoulder, but him being so much the bigger man, if he charges forward and gets on his level, he's going to elbow or shoulder him naturally, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, Canelo's 5'8". He's smaller than both of us.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. It's crazy that he was able to win this fight, but he looked great.
At the end of the day. He wins by knockout in the 11th round and knocks him, I mean,
clean out. Yeah, damn near knocks him out of the ring. Yeah. They waved it off. They didn't even count him.
Yeah, he was clearly fucked up.
Yeah, he was done. Remember, it took him a minute to get up. Canelo's a savage.
That's all I expected at all.
Yeah, not at all. Did not see.
Would likely win, but
did not see. Did not see Canelo knocking him out.
Yeah, yeah, that's. He had some idiotic questions, though. I gotta say, they're pretty hilarious questions after the fight, with people actually asking Canelo if he's going to continue to move up in weight to not just
crazy.
Light or not just cruiserweight, but heavyweight as all as it's well, nuts. Which is ridiculous. He's 5 feet eight, folks.
Unless he just got yacked, like on the freaking, just headed down, like, got on the
good.
Yeah, he'd have to be huge. Yacked. And he's already pretty fit, man.
Yeah, he's
dude. It's crazy. It's crazy to me.
Reporters ask, but
it's crazy to me that Canelo is not the number one pound for pound fighter in the world right now. Like he has fought the most diverse number of opponents. He's beat everyone except one person.
And like, who's the ring god up there? They got what?
Lomachenko and Bud Crawford in front of him. But like, what signature wins does either of those guys really have that Canelo doesn't? Canelo's beat everybody in every weight class. Yeah, you can say now that his middleweight title that he could still fight like Callum Smith, and there's other champions there he could have fought instead of taking this Kovalev fight. But if we're talking about a guy who is legitimately the pound-for-pound champion, we're talking about a guy who is down to fight anybody at any weight class at any time. And it seems to me like Canelo is that guy, and he's able to win whenever he steps in there.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you're saying, man.
Like, because, I mean, hate to say it, but, like, Bud Crawford's a great fighter, but he still hasn't even fought the best guys in his own weight class.
Right.
Like, if you want to look back at Canelo's real weight class, at welterweight, he's pretty much fought everybody, except Manny Pacquiao, maybe. But now there's all these younger guys that he could go down and fight, but he's just not that weight anymore, so you can't count that against him. You know what I mean? Like, now he's naturally changed his body to fight at these higher weight classes. We're going to see him fight. I think he's just fighting where the money's at this point. And for legacy, too, because this is a huge fight for his legacy for fucking five different weight classes. It's nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nuts. Well, you know what he is. He's a bad motherfucker.
He is a bad motherfucker.
Speaking of bad motherfuckers, I think that we can just transition from that right into the BMF showdown we had. The Canelo fight was delayed, actually. A smart move on their part and Dazen's part. Or DAZN, I forget. Whatever it is. I canceled that shit. DAZN's part by delaying it till after the BMF title fight that the UFC was doing. Because I don't think there's much else on that card worth talking about. But kudos to Canelo for coming through.
He's
absolutely a bad
motherfucker. He's a savage.
But he won't get the belt, though. George Masvidal's got that belt now. You know, start off with...
In a somewhat anticlimactic way as well.
Controversial at the time, in retrospect, is losing some of that controversial
losing
nature.
The steam, yeah.
Because I admit last night, or excuse me now, a couple nights at this point, after watching it, it was very disappointing. I was upset that it was stopped by the doctor. I tweeted about that being some bullshit.
Yeah.
Because he just didn't look that bad inside the cage. But then some pictures came out subsequently of Nate's eye where, man, he's got a large amount of stitches.
I mean, yeah, dude, he's got some, like, looking about like 20-some stitches across his eyebrow.
And then he's got more across the bottom of his eye as well.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It gets a doctor stoppage. Nate said he was good to go. He looked fine. The doctor smiled, walked away, and then waved it off. Everybody was like, what the fuck?
I mean, it sucks.
It sucks, but he was losing the fight.
He was very, very much getting beat down.
No, he said he was waiting until the fourth and the fifth, and he is known as a fighter to do that. Like a little devil's advocate. And it's not his fault. Like, Dominic Cruz was kind of pissing me off after the fight, because I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to save face for the UFC. It's his job in the broadcast booth as a UFC employee. But he was trying to say, like, well, Nate should have known that he could have got stopped on cut, so he should have fought harder because of that cut. Because we got to worry about a doctor stoppage, trying to like act like that's a concern. Like, that's not an active concern in MMA. They get the fuck out of
here. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. He's right to a certain extent.
Same boxing, though.
Well, no, but here's the thing. He's right to a certain extent because if, as a fighter, you need to be aware of where you're at physically as well as where you're at in the fight. if you're getting beat down, like, you know who you are, Nate Diaz. You know you cut easily. If you're getting fucked up and you have a huge cut on your brow, you got to be able to. I think part of it is on kind of Nate. I mean, looking back on it, because this is I think it's partly the of what happened in the conversation between the doctor and Nate Diaz, because I feel like there was like a breakdown in communication there. It was like he was trying to check Nate. He was trying to check Nate, and it seemed like Nate didn't want to do any of the tests or anything, and he was just kind of like, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here. And I think maybe as a like ringside physician, the guy's probably thinking like, oh, he's like refusing to get, you know, the basic bullshit. How many fingers am I holding up? Whatever the fuck on his eye, and he's trying to get me out of here. I'm gonna wave the fight off. I think looking back at the footage of it, like, it looked like the doctor was like trying to be like run the test on him, and Nate was just like, get the fuck out of here. And maybe he took that as, I'm stopping this fight if he won't. You know what I'm saying? There's been people who've insert themselves into these kind of fights, and I think this is a possibility of what happened last night.
It's possible. It's pretty speculative, but it could be. But I have a hard time blaming the fight. He doesn't know how bad his own cut is on his own face.
Yeah, 100%. No, I'm not blaming Nate. I'm just saying, anytime you know you cut easily, there's a chance you could get stopped. So I feel like when a physician comes in, just run through the test. It doesn't matter if you're going to pass him. You know you're going to pass him if you're fine. So why not just run through the bullshit? I know your adrenaline's running and you're trying to get back in there and you feel like you got him where you want him. But also, why not just take the steps of what the doctor wanted to get done, not wave him out of the way, and just get going after that?
Do we know that's what happened for sure?
No, that's just a speculation by me. I'm just saying, just because it seemed like the physician ran in and was like, let me see your eye, let me see your eye, and he's like, get the fuck out of here, basically.
I heard him say, I'm fine, I'm fine.
He's like, I'm fine, get out of here. And it's like, 100% I agree with him, he probably was fine, he probably could have continued, but I think there's a way to handle that if you're okay and you're fine. You're just like, whatever, just do it. Let's go. Come on. I got to get going. But let's run through the quick bullshit test he was going to do or how he was going to look at his eye and then get the fuck out of there. Because if you really think about it, if you're talking about stopping a fight, the way Nate's cuts were, they were not. The difference between a fight that should be stopped and a fight that shouldn't be is when you have a cut like that, if there's swelling included with the cut, is usually when you stop a fight.
Look at Donald Cerrone versus Tony Ferguson, which was Cerrone's eye was completely swollen shut during the fight. Like literally when it the doctor was standing in front of him, he could not see out of his right eye.
Yeah.
And of course he's going, I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But
for
clearly
sure.
You can't see out of one eye. No, like this is obvious. Yeah,
for
in that regard. But Nate at the time when that blood was, he wasn't even bleeding. I mean, I disagree with the stoppage. I think that possibly, I'm not saying Nate was winning. I think it was likely he was going to continue to lose, and it was likely that cut would have got way worse, and it's quite possible it would have been stopped later in that round because of that cut getting way worse.
I think they could should have given him a chance.
It's the goddamn baddest motherfucker title.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're talking 100%. About you got a boo-boo on your face, I'm not going to let you fight anymore.
We have to understand as well that you chose to do this fight in New York, which is notorious for bad shit happening like this in their commission. If you wanted the real BMF title, you should have done it in Las Vegas,
where
no one gets stopped by doctors in Las Vegas. It doesn't happen, dude. They don't stop fights like that in Las Vegas. They're seasoned. Yeah. They're too seasoned as far as a commission to stop a fight like that. Don't get me wrong, New York's had some of the biggest fights in Madison Square Garden, but they've never had big MMA events like
that.
They
make rookie mistakes every time, and it's only getting worse. That's another thing I tweeted about in the aftermath of that fight, because it's like, come on. Every time we got some bullshit.
Michael Chandler, same shit. When Michael Chandler, remember when his nerve went out?
Yeah.
And they told him his leg was broken, and they stopped the fight. It's like, okay, well, then that also happened in the UFC, where Henry Cejudo had his leg buckle like that, and the ref didn't stop the fight. They let it continue. His feeling came back in his leg, and he went on to beat the greatest fighter of all time, possibly. So it's like,
it's some shenanigans in New York.
Yeah, New York's trash. Yeah, as you wear a Buffalo shirt.
No, it just happens to be a UFC shirt. You know what I'm saying? But honestly, I get if you're a fighter and you're you have a lot of history like Nate does. Maybe there's a part of him that wants to fight in historic MSG because of the history behind it.
Yeah.
But not only are they a commission that makes a lot of rookie mistakes and silly fucking things, shenanigans every time, but the tax rate, these fighters are getting jacked on their fucking winnings out there.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
Jesus, dude, you could get paid the same amount of money fight here in Vegas, and you're going to take home a hell of a lot more cash.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah.
So, like, you're risking...
And you're not going to deal with the bullshit paycheck. Commission.
Yeah, man.
Or think about it. He had the same cut in California. They didn't even check him in that fight. The doctor didn't even step in at any point in the Anaheim fight.
Right.
So, I don't know, man. It sucks. It sucks. I'm the saddest motherfucker in the game. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
Will they run it back? Hopefully.
Well, Dana's shitting all over that already.
But I would like it. I would like it this way. If they're going to run it back, let Masvidal go win the title and run it back for the welterweight title.
Look, here's something brutally honest that just kind of popped into my head. And Nate Diaz is then Nick, my favorite fucking. They're not my favorite. You know, your favorite fighters always kind of alternate.
They're like a cult. They're in
it, both of them. I love those two motherfuckers.
Yeah, they're good.
But the truth is, in one way, if you're going to lose and you're Nate Diaz, it's best to lose when you can produce a Nate Diaz excuse, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the Diaz brothers have an excuse every time they fucking lose. That's just part of the... Everybody knows if you're a hardcore fan, you know, they always talk that shit. I didn't really lose. It was this bullshit.
Yeah.
I didn't get beat. It was this bullshit that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now he can say, I didn't get beat. It was this bullshit that happened. I mean, maybe that plays into something with that. If you're going to fucking lose, at least you can pull that excuse. They love to pull.
They do, but I feel like it's more of a competitive thing. It's like they refuse to lose. Yeah.
But now he is. In his mind, he didn't lose. It was this bullshit that happened, and now, you know.
And to some extent, he's right, I guess, because, like, yeah, he could have turned the tide, but then it also could have been fucking two more rounds of a beatdown where he could have got hurt bad.
Yeah.
Masvidal, we were talking about this a little bit before the show.
Let's shift focus. Let's talk about Masvidal.
Well, here's the thing. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. I've never seen somebody gain power and speed throughout their career at this age. Like, I've never seen this before. What Masvidal has done in the last year is literally unheard of. There's never been just somebody who's gone, took step away for like a year from a professional sport and then... goes on to come back, and usually they come back and their tools are better, their techniques are better, their actual, fight IQ is better. But in this case, it seems like Masvidal's come back and his speed and power is better than it was when he left. It's weird. I've never seen it before. And he's not like he's on the juice or something. Yeah, he's a small guy.
Back and he's jacked or something. Yeah. He's just...
Came back and his hair was long.
Right.
That's literally the only difference. Like, he came back and he reincarnated Street Jesus, you know? And he's baptizing motherfuckers. Unfortunately, he almost baptized Nate in the first round, dude. I was so fucking surprised. When he dropped Nate in the first, it was crazy, dude. And hit him with that, he head kicked him, dude. I thought he'd put him out. When he head kicked him, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah,
that's true. Because that's Nate's fucking kryptonite, is that head kick.
So where does Masvidal go from here? Because, I mean, his stock's never been higher. I mean, he is going to be a household name.
He already is.
That he already was, but now in a whole new sense.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I almost feel bad for Nate in a way because he went and created this BMF shit, but Masvidal's going to reap these benefits off of it.
They weren't instant, though, because the initial reaction from the crowd and the people at home was word of boo.
Yeah, and he wasn't having that booing either. Yeah, he was like, fuck you, don't boo me. I ain't the doctor.
Yeah.
Boo me, you can come see me after the show. You're going to have a line of fucking 600 people.
Fucking handing out three pieces, dog. No sodas.
Three pieces and no sodas. He's too busy. But, I mean, are they going to rush him into a title shot? Do they hope that Colby wins? And then he said the Colby Masvidal fucking
in the post-fight press conference, it said he's had some hand issues he's been dealing with for the last 3 months and was actually going to take time off after the Ben fight because he had hand issues, and then the UFC gave him this huge opportunity and he couldn't turn it down. So he said that if something were to fall out and he had to fill in next month, he would. But at the end of the day, he'd much rather take about 4 to 6 months off and deal with his hand.
Well, that's smart on his part because it lets the Colby Usman fight play out and any aftermath that might be associated with it and leaves him sitting pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
And Nate, as far as what's next for him, he seemed in pretty good spirits at the press conference, honestly.
Yeah, but he needs some time off as well.
But he needs time off. That face has got to heal up.
It's got him.
Even if it looks healed on the surface, it's right, not though. Necessarily healed underneath.
Someone sneezes on him, he's bleeding.
Yeah. He's always got the Conor fight sitting there in the pocket. There. I mean, unless they both really fuck that up somehow.
Until about 10 minutes before we started here, Conor was silent until this morning he decided to tweet out he would like a 3-piece and a soda from Burger King. Extra salt, please.
With some chicken, too. I don't know. I don't know if Conor really wants to fuck with George Masvidal, to be honest.
I don't think it's a smart idea.
I mean, there George is a Masvidal. Size difference there. Yeah. Masvidal's a bigger dude. And that plays into effect when you have similar skill sets and similar skill levels. Sometimes it just comes down to size.
But let's be honest. Masvidal
could come in and might fuck him up. I don't
Who's
know.
Ever knocked Conor out?
Nobody. I'm not saying, I don't know.
Because let's even look at it this way. Conor's been hurt by, like, people. Like, Khabib hurt him bad. But then Khabib continued to literally pound him for, like, 2 minutes straight, laying punches on his chin the whole time, and never once put him out.
Yeah, he's got a big-ass fucking hard head.
And then, like, literally, and same thing. Even Floyd, when he was completely gassed, didn't put him out. Nate, when he was completely gassed, didn't put him out. Like, there's... Like, let's just, if we're just being honest here, like, yeah, George might beat Conor, but I don't think he, like, KOs him. Like, if he KOs him, it's a TKO, but I don't see anybody literally sleeping Conor. I've never seen it. It can happen, I guess, but we've never seen it.
I mean, could Conor win that fight? Probably. Depends.
It depends. The timeline, let's be honest. Let's say he goes and he fights fucking, I don't know. Let's say he goes and fights Cowboy next. What if they make that fight at 170 instead of 155 for him to get his body right, and then he takes that 6 months that George is taking, gets his body right, and then fights George at 170 pounds? I think that's a way bigger fight than any title fight for George at 175.
Yeah.
170 pounds. Fuck Colby and fuck Usman. Honestly, they're good fighters, but they're not really going to put the money up that George wants to make than a Conor fight would.
Dude, it's set up pretty perfect for the Conor fight for this. If they play it out like that, I'd much rather see the Conor get acclimated to the weight difference.
Yeah, I'd like to see him and Cowboy fight at 170.
Yeah.
That would be smart.
That would be better.
If he really wants to do this.
And if Conor's hungry, I mean, he's got all the skills in the world. He could go in there. He could fuck up George Masvidal if he was centered and focused. He doesn't have to worry about the wrestling. I mean, yeah. The fights that he loses to wrestling. I mean, the boxing.
Let's just be honest here. Literally what happened last night was Nate, him and Nate did the second fight, but it got stopped instead of seeing what happened in 4 and 5.
Yeah, because he was.
Because literally, if you look at it, in the first fight, in the second fight, Conor literally dropped Nate, what, 4 times in the first round?
Yeah.
Dropped him in the second. The third round, almost dropped him. Nate had a little bit of success, just like last night. And Nate was a bloody mess, and Conor was gassed. Yeah. And going into the fourth is when Nate started doing well. And then if you look at last night's fight, George dropped Nate, what, twice in the first round. Second round, drops him again. Third round, I think he rocked him. I don't remember if he dropped him. And then Nate has success at the end of the third round. And going into the corner, into the third round, everyone cannot deny George had this look on his face that he looked kind of frustrated that Nate wasn't going away. Because he was hitting him with every big shot he could. Obviously, these are all takes by me on this fight.
So Conor,
I feel like,
circling back to that.
I feel like the Conor second fight and George, the first three rounds are very similar.
Yeah,
what happens in fourth and fifth, unfortunately, we'll never know with George and Nate. But I think there's a good chance that George and Connor fight now.
That's the biggest fight for both of them now.
Both of them, yeah.
It's way bigger than him getting the winner of Colby versus Usman if he's just looking to get paid.
Yeah.
That title fight doesn't go anywhere.
And that title
if he beats Connor, he definitely gets that title fight after that.
And they make a new title, the Money Belt. Because that's the biggest money fight in UFC history, possibly. We got...
Well, didn't they say that they were going to make some announcement of a new
some other belt? Yeah.
Oh, God, it could be the Money Belt.
Dude, what if it's the Money Belt, dude, and it's Connor versus George? And I ain't talking about St. Pierre, dog.
No. that'd be some shit.
Be the biggest pay-per-view ever.
That would be pretty sick.
It'd be the biggest pay-per-view in UFC history if you had Conor McGregor versus George Masvidal. 100%. Without a doubt. If Conor McGregor comes back January 18th and were to beat someone like Cowboy at 170 pounds, acclimates his body, and then on International Fight Weekend, him and George Masvidal fight, and they stack the whole card, it will be the biggest pay-per-view in UFC history.
Yeah, you're right. It would. And I would much rather see that. We've said this a million times. I don't want to dive into it, but I don't want to see him at 155 versus Khabib. That's cool. I'll pass. I don't really care to see him fight for the title at 170 either.
Yeah, pass. Both those guys will just maul him.
The other fight makes a lot more sense. I had envisioned it being Nate that was going to get the victory, and then, of course, Connor being the obvious choice.
Yeah.
So.
But don't get me wrong, though. I don't think if Nate really wants to be competitive, I don't think he's really out of it in this division. I could very well see him fighting the loser of Colby and Usman.
They might do that. Yeah.
And I could see him being very competitive with either one, possibly beating both of them, I think. I think he could beat Colby if he's healthy, and Usman would be a challenge. I mean, don't get me wrong, Colby's tough, but I think overall, Diaz is just going to be there the whole time just like Colby is, but I think his style negates Colby's strengths. You know, because Colby kind of...
You don't think Colby's wrestling will be too much for him?
No, because I don't think either. Colby does enough when he's on top to really get Nate uncomfortable and stop him from possibly using his defense as offense. You know what I mean? I could see Nate using his jiu-jitsu if Colby were to try to take him down. Last night, George was scaring me there for a second, because when he was in Nate's guard and you saw Nate start to climb his body when George was getting a little wild in the strikes, I was like, dude, you got to watch out. Nate's got a nasty triangle, and he was trying to set it up because George kept like trying to open the guard up a little bit and throw big strikes, and Nate was just like, you know, creeping his legs up his body more and more, and I thought he was going to go for it. He should have, honestly. It would have just, you know, been that next thing. That was a good fight, man.
It was a good fight.
Too bad it got but George early, was very dominant.
Still a good fight. George is dominant, though. Well, let's move on to the next fight that was down the card. We can kind of go over. There was just so many big fights on the card.
This is honestly the only fight of the card that wasn't that crazy.
Kelvin Gastelum versus Darren Till making his debut at 185. Gastelum coming off the loss to Israel Adesanya.
Darren Till coming off back-to-back losses.
Yeah, to last one to Masvidal. Till gets the win. Decision. Split decision.
Split decision, but a bullshit decision. He very, very well won that fight at every round.
It was not close.
You know what it was? It was a case of a guy in Darren Till who'd come off some shaky performances where he got wild, went against a game plan, and got put away. And this was just a case of a guy who stayed packed with the game plan for all 15 minutes of the fight, and then got the win because he was just never deviated. It was...
Yeah, he stayed on point.
Keep him on the outside, beat him up with the leg kicks. If he comes in and tries to throw the big shots, grapple with him, allow him to push you on the cage, but then reverse him every once in a while. And then when you break, once again, circle to the outside towards the hurt leg, hit him with leg kicks, same thing. Over and over. And he stayed packed the whole time, and he hit him with the bigger shots, and he won the fight.
I don't know how much of this is just editing, because it's UFC embedded, so who knows? So this is just opinion here that could be wrong, because like I said, we only know what the UFC cameras decide to show us.
Yeah.
And the little bit that we see in like press conferences and whatever for these fighters. But I kept getting the impression watching that he just didn't seem to be taking this fight super seriously.
No, not at all.
Kelvin Gastelum, I mean.
Yeah, not at all.
Like, it seemed to be a lot of joking around and good times and smiles. And, like, Darren Till wasn't a real fucking
talking about he was
going to
knock him out in the first round.
And Till was dead serious. I mean, Till talked afterwards about how he was, like, legit terrified. You know, like, he was taking this extremely seriously. And Kelvin just seemed to be kind of...
Here's the thing, though. It's not that he was terrified of Kelvin.
No.
He was terrified of what his career has become.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knows he fucking loses three in a row.
And on the biggest stage, in the biggest card, with the most... Like, I guarantee you, unless some crazy shit happened, last night was probably the biggest card of the year, sales-wise.
You think it's going to outdo the December 4th? Yeah, well, yeah, probably is going to outdo the December 4th.
Yeah, for sure. So, let's say if Darren Till last night went out there and got slept by Kelvin Gastelum because he got, you know, did some stupid shit. Then we're talking a whole different story. We're talking about at 26 years old, where's Darren Till go from there?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
out of the UFC maybe with his three straight fucking losses.
But how can you say that? Because those three straight losses are to the champion.
I'm just saying there would be
that. Hold on. But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though. The way his losses have aged are ridiculous, because we're talking about he lost a title fight, and then he lost to George Masvidal, who is literally the fighter of the year.
Yeah,
who's literally the number one contender. And then we're talking about a guy with Kelvin Gastelum, who's coming off a title fight as well, who is a number one contender. So how, although you are right, someone on a three-fight losing streak in any organization is... would be threatened to be released, you could not really count those losses against his legacy if he were to lose last night.
Well, yes. Luckily, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, we don't even
so
need to
I just feel
it.
Like...
He saved his fucking... He
did,
took his
yeah.
Moment
he
to
saved
shine.
It.
He saved
he
the
saved
he did a 180 on the path that he was going.
Oh,
on.
Yeah, 100%.
And fucking... he needs to be careful in his next fight. I don't think they need to rush him into no title shot. Like, Chael Sonnen's out there saying that he earned a title shot, and I
it's
couldn't
strange,
disagree
though.
More. I don't think so.
He kind of did, though, because it's not. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not that his performance was outrageously good. It's the fact that he just beat the best guy coming off a title shot, and your number one contender's hurt, and the guy beneath that, no one really has seen him. I don't know. Hermanson, I honestly, like, you kind of got to give it to Hermanson also. Like, Hermanson is, or not Hermanson, sorry, Cannoneer.
Cannoneer. Yeah.
Cannoneer is fucking
that's
on
a good
a tear.
Fight. Till should fight Cannoneer.
No, I'm talking about Cannoneer should probably get the Israel fight next.
Now that Costa's injured?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they're calling for it to go to Romero, but I mean, Romero is technically coming off the loss.
See that video of Romero?
No, I don't watch those videos. he's a little cringy for me.
He said, "Why you say I see you, boy? You send you tell Dana White." You give me that fucking date.
I don't think Jesus likes the F word.
Fucking Yoel, dude. He's scary.
He is scary.
He's just like he's like that old man sitting on the porch that you don't want to fuck with. It's like the fuck up off his lawn, dude.
Before he beats you physically. Oh yeah, this is good weed. I like this stuff. It's like it's
you know what nobody's horrible. Talking about.
What's that?
You know who Darren Till should fight next? If you really want to talk about how good is he and where is he in this division, fight Robert Whittaker next.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Everyone's kind of count Robert Whittaker out, but he's also said he wants to turn around generally pretty quick.
That's a fight that makes some sense.
Because he's without a dance partner for sure. Unless
you're
going to.
He didn't get injured in that fight. So
no.
He's
he just got
go.
Stopped.
Yeah, that's actually a good fight. They should do that.
Maybe. Unless he's possibly waiting for Paulo Costa.
Maybe. As far as Gastelum goes, I mean, who knows what's next here? He's coming off, you know, two losses now. I don't know if that's happened in his career before, not to my recollection.
No, he was undefeated until he fought Woodley, and then he won, and then he lost to Weidman, and then he hasn't lost since then.
Yeah, he's going to have to reevaluate some things. But he technically came in, it would seem, slightly heavy for this fight.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about this for a second.
Fucking towel trick.
Let's talk about this for a second. Just because, let's just break this down for people. Just psychologically. Because, like,
not everybody might not know what we're talking about.
Okay, so Kelvin Gastelum on weigh-in day comes in with the towel.
Yeah.
Which means that there's, okay, so to make 185 pounds, you can actually make it at 186 pounds. You get a 1 pound allowance. So, that being said, if you come in and you're really close to the limit, you can go down, get behind the towel, and weigh in.
Under 186.
Exactly. So, Kelvin Gastelum does this, correct?
He's naked on the scale.
Naked on the scale. Towel wrapped around him. And he weighs in at 184 pounds. Yes. 2 pounds under the limit.
While at the same time holding his elbows up, the commission told him to hold his hands up above the towel. So he holds his hands above the towel and he leans in on Rafael Caldeiro. You can see him leaning in on his coach.
Yep.
Who's holding a towel. Which is basically the towel trick Daniel Cormier did. Instead of leaning on the towel, though, he's leaning on his coach, which just might be enough to do what? Hoping
shed
he's
a couple pounds off.
An ounce or two, but he winds up shifting a couple pounds or two because that's really sensitive, actually.
Yeah.
And that works surprisingly well. I remember there was a bunch of people testing that shit.
And for anyone out there who thinks that, oh, you're wrong, that didn't happen, like, he was good. He's actually getting disciplined by the New York State Athletic Commission.
Yeah, the New York State
now.
Commission was like, wait, you pulled shenanigans.
They called it, and they said that he was indeed leaning on the coach, and he's going to be disciplined for it. So, with that being said,
again, I got to point to some incompetence here. Why didn't you take care of that at the weigh-in and just been like, dude, you have another hour to fucking weigh in or whatever?
Yeah, weigh in the correct way. Let's see where you're at. You have another hour.
Because on one hand, I want to be like, okay, good. They caught some shenanigans instead of pulled some.
Yeah, but probably was like exactly on if you really think about it. But
yeah, it's pretty shady. He suddenly weighs in technically two pounds under.
Yeah, butt naked. Like, what, you just wanted to show up butt naked, dude? Is that what you wanted? Like,
and then just strange situation. On the coach at the same time. So
lean on
whatever. He got away with it, sort of, kind of. He's still getting disciplined in some.
Yeah, way. For sure.
But what's next for him is, I guess, a trip back to the drawing board, and we'll see what shuffles out in the UFC deck. I mean,
once again, though, we're talking about a guy who no easy fights for. There's no easy fights at middleweight right now. Everyone's a fucking killer. So it's just who do you want to fight first is really what you got to think. It's not who do you want to fight, because everyone's going to end up having to fight everybody when you think about middleweight right now, because in the last year or so, we've had a lot of new names that we didn't have before show up in this division. So now you got to look at, we'll even look back a year ago with this podcast, we were talking about middleweight, everybody's already fought everyone. So there's really nothing to think about.
Yeah,
but now we're looking at it, and this entire division is filled with new names. So now everyone has to fight everybody still. So I think everyone's going to run into everyone eventually. It's going to be more a question of who do you want to fight next and when do you want to fight them.
There's some youngsters on the come up in this division now, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
yeah, things are shaking out.
Hell yeah. So let's move on to the next fight. That was fight of the night on this card. That was Stephen Wonderboy Thompson fighting Vicente Luque, this fight was great. I liked it a lot.
Wonderboy looked really good.
He did.
He dished out.
He didn't look very good in the first round, though.
No,
Luque
no,
comes
he
out.
Recovered
and he
recovered all right.
Luque came out and he almost finished him in the first.
He did. I thought he was going to lose.
I thought he was going to finish him. At the end of the first, when he hit him with that big right hand and Wonderboy stumbled on the cage, I was like, oh, fuck. Again? Because honestly, if you really want to talk about Wonderboy, it's not that his skills have ever diminished. It's not that his speed or his powers ever diminished. It's really just been his chin. Because, like...
Well, that comes with age, too.
It does, 100%.
He's a welterweight, and he's got a lot of wear and tear. He's not much in the UFC, but the dude has,
he's
80 kickboxers.
75-0.
75-0 as a kickboxer. I mean, he has a lot of fights.
A lot of karate fights.
I think I saw his dad say that this was, like, their 90th fight or something like that, like, across all mediums. Like, that's a lot of wear and tear. Oh, yeah. He's 35 or 6, which at
37.
He's not a heavyweight, so, yeah, it's his chin, man.
Yeah.
Totally. And not that he got KO'd or anything. Or he
well, no, he's fought some of the best in the world, and he's got fucking shook by everybody.
I mean, and then Pettis got him, but
yeah,
that was a crazy fucking
Woodley almost got him twice.
Wonderboy looked good, though. He gets the win.
Yeah, he comes back.
Batters fucking Luque.
But here's the thing, though. I don't think Luque's stock dropped at all last night. I think it actually got even better there.
Yeah, he looked good in the loss, too.
Yeah, because he was in there with a guy who was nobody can time. And he was able to he was so close to stopping him. It was ridiculous.
I don't know how old he is, but he's got some...
Luque's only 27, I think, 28.
He's still got a few years. Like that. So he ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, he's ain't going nowhere soon. And he's already fought a lot of these guys. Like, he's fought Leon Edwards. So, like, he's fought some of these guys. So it'd be... I wonder how much intel he's already got, you know?
One to keep an eye on, for sure.
For sure.
Dude, we saw Derek Lewis make a comeback after his knee surgery.
Yep, he looked pretty good.
As well on this card. He looked pretty good fighting.
Bulgoy Ivanov.
Ivanov is a tough son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
Derek Lewis was in some trouble here and a few times. Like, that fucking weird arm fucking key lock.
I thought he was going to get subbed to that fucking...
He was just like the whole time. He's like, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good.
Yeah, his arm looked all
It was strange,
crazy.
Though. It was weird. It was like Derek Lewis went to the ground, would, like, let him sink these submissions in, and, like, right before he had the possibility to fucking, to finish him, he would just do this crazy power out, push him off and move, come back to his feet, and hit him with fucking hammers,
dude. That's exactly what he did.
Like,
yeah,
every round.
Wild.
It was weird. It was the hardest fight to score, because it was like... It was like Derek Lewis would get taken down. He'd get him in like a crucifix position, put in a Kimura, like just about when he's going to turn it to like finish the fucking submission, possibly break his arm. He'd just fucking come out, hit him with a fucking flying knee,
yeah, burst
four
up like
haymakers.
Superman.
Yeah.
Throw him off and start wailing on him.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Fucking dude, old boy's chin is so tough. He wasn't going. I mean, I don't know how he was taking those punches and not going out. But.
Did he get dropped in the. Did he get dropped?
I don't think he got.
He was he got knocked down. Did he?
Yeah, I think he got knocked down, like stumbled down.
Yeah.
Not like a clear, like.
Yeah. But he hit him with some big fucking shots, dude.
Dude, he was winging. Derek Lewis was winging. But importantly, I thought Derek Lewis looked pretty good, though. He had patience.
Yeah.
He didn't rush a lot of things. Oh. He didn't get winded. He kept his fucking.
Kept his
cardio
cool.
under control, yeah. Which he said they've been working on.
Yeah, Joe Rogan was constantly talking about the whole fight. He was just like, wow, this is so much different than what we've seen before from Derek Lewis. He just looks like a professional.
Yeah, yeah. And
it was before, like, Derek Lewis was more of just like a guy who was trying to make some money, and he was trying to go out there and make some interesting fights to make some money. Now it looks Derek Lewis has become a guy who's a well-rounded professional fighter who knows that he can make money, but he's going to make more money based on how good he is at fighting.
Yeah,
you know?
He seems to be taking it a lot more serious.
And we're talking about a guy who's still, what, number 5 in the division, and he just beat a guy who I think is 7th?
Yeah, I do believe 7th or 8th, and yeah. Known for being tough. Like, he was on the way. I mean, he was favored.
And you're talking about Derek Lewis is a guy who has a win over Francis Ngannou, and he has... He's got a chance to really put himself back in the title mix pretty quick here.
Did you hear him say he wants to take Greg Hardy out of the UFC?
Yeah.
If Hardy gets lucky and wins in next week's Moscow event.
I would love to see that fight.
He might take that fight just because he don't like Hardy.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't get nothing from beating him. I mean, other than...
Would he, though? I think he would.
Yeah,
I think he would.
Satisfaction.
Yeah.
People will love him even more, but I don't know how much shine.
Well, no. He would get something out of it for sure because Alexander Volkov is a really seasoned vet and has been a part of the top 10 of this division.
There's
for
no way Greg Hardy's beaten Volkov.
That's the thing, though. If he does beat Volkov, it springs him into that mix that if Derek Lewis were to beat him, it just propels Derek Lewis even more into a possible title shot once DC's gone.
If he were to fight him now, he wouldn't get any shine off him.
But yeah, no. Volkov, but if he beats Volkov, it sweetens the pot for sure.
For sure. Well, what about, dude, another good fight? I mean, we just kind of run through them because there's so many or we're going to be on great the fucking ones. Air for hours. We got, how about the 155 return of Kevin Lee?
Hell yeah.
Calling out a guy that I was shocked he called out to begin with, Gregor Gillespie.
Who's a savage, yeah.
Savage, known for his outstanding wrestling.
Yeah, and great striking, too.
And great striking. I thought Kevin Lee was crazy.
It was a good fucking fight to start the fight, too. Like, they were going after each other the whole time, hitting each other with good jabs. For it being a one-round fight, Kevin Lee was pretty fucked up in the face, too. And what the fuck was on his chest, dude?
Yeah, did he have staff again?
I thought he did, dude. Like, what the fuck was that?
It looked just like another staff.
It did.
Infection, maybe slightly covered with some makeup, perhaps. I don't know.
But I don't know, but...
A red knob like that on your fucking chest. Yeah. I don't know.
Ingrown hair. I don't know what the fuck that was.
That's a nasty one.
Yeah.
There, buddy.
So,
but anyways, but he back to the fight. He fucking slapped him with a head kick.
Fuck. It was very back and forth, though, in that first round. Like, it was both guys just finding a lot of success. And then fucking just a perfect combination by Kevin Lee to put Gillespie out.
And if people listening don't know, I mean, Gregor Gillespie is a very well-respected wrestler. I mean,
absolutely. What are his credentials? He's a D1 champ, national champ.
I mean, he would have been in the Olympics, but for what?
Well, fucking, he wrestled on, like, the world level, but he just wasn't able to break through because he was wrestling in the same weight class as Jordan Burroughs, so that's just what it is. And kind of similar, like, you know, the thing is with wrestling is, like, once you leave college, unless you're Olympic level, there's only so far you can go. You know, like, it's really just speaks to, like, what it means to, like when you're a wrestler, because it's, like, you really got to love it. You know what I mean? Because, like, there's really no imminent future in any kind of anything other
than MMA.
Other than MMA or...
And that's not...
Yeah,
not
and that's...
Like these MMA fighters.
And there's no promises there. Yeah.
You can make
so it's like,
highest levels, you ain't going to make shit.
Yeah. So...
I guess more than wrestling, though.
You have to have, like, a certain... Like, want for to be, like, the best. You know what I mean?
Dude, speaking of wrestlers and fucking... Just a quick aside. I read some shit. The Rock is going to be in a biopic of Mark Kerr. Did you hear that?
Yeah. That's what I was telling you about.
Yeah, that's fucking dope, dude. That could be good. Like, if that's handled right, that could be fucking very good.
He's directing it, too.
Oh, I didn't... The Rock is?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Really?
That's he amazing. Wrote it, directed it, and he's starring in it. Jackie Moon. Wow.
That's a lot. I mean, that can be good. A lot of people can do that. I suppose if anybody can, The Rock could.
Yeah.
As far as action stars. I mean, Stallone does that kind of shit, too.
Yep.
But, damn. Well, fuck. So Kevin Lee gets the big win there. I liked the post fight. He didn't make any crazy title fucking call outs. He just said he wants to have another good solid.
You know who he wants. He said after he wants to fight Islam Makhachev.
Well, there you go. That's a tough fight.
I'll fuck with that fight. That's a fight right there.
Yeah.
That's the next guy up, you know. That's Khabib's little brother he's retiring for so he can win a title.
Yeah. I'd like to see that. Let's do that, Kevin.
Yeah, I would like... Absolutely. Kevin Lee and Faraz Zahabi's gym, though, we never see Kevin Lee with the... You know, he took an approach that was very different. You know, he was in there and he was like... He was using his jab kind of like GSP. You know, he was using his jab to set up his whole game. And it was just so perfect. Like, it was much different. It's a much different Kevin Lee we've ever seen last night.
Like, to see him, what he looks like next fight, when he can, you know, after continuing to work with Zahabi up there at TriStar.
Yeah.
Fucking seems to be a big improvement already, so.
Mm-hmm. All right, the next one was kind of a strange one. We had a Corey Anderson win by TKO over Johnny Walker in a fight that was stopped on the feet. in a very, don't get me wrong, Walker was rocked, but
he was getting very lit strange. Up, but he was standing there, and then the fight got stopped, and he kept standing there walking towards.
Yeah, and then Corey Anderson fucking snapped down the referee. It was pretty legit.
Yeah, it was a very odd. It was a
classic wrestling snapdown. He's, I was like, okay, Corey Anderson. Dude, what was up with him, though? Like, he got the TKO win, and then he just, like, started freaking out. It was weird.
Yeah, he ran around talking shit, ran over to Corey's corner, shushed all of them with the finger.
Yeah, like, fucking, you mean Johnny's?
Yeah. I said Corey's. Yeah, whatever. Fucking high.
It was very strange.
Yeah, he runs over to Walker's corner, shushes everybody, ran around talking a bunch more shit. And Walker was just, like,
knocked out. Ish.
It was weird, because I feel like it was a good stoppage, but a bad stoppage at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Because he was getting rocked.
He was getting rocked, but I think he could have let it go a little bit
but
more.
But he just stood there, like, staring, like, yo, I'm good to go. Like, I'm right here. And he was just staring at fucking Corey.
Yeah.
It was really weird. But
it's very similar to his last loss. If you look back at Johnny Walker's last loss, it's very similar to it.
Yeah, well, fucking Corey... Anderson went out and made a statement that everybody said he needed to make. Everybody was shitting on him. But I say everybody, I mean people that don't like wrestling and thought his last three fights were pretty boring decisions because he's been trying to get that title shot with Jon Jones. And then he says the UFC told him that he ain't exciting enough and nobody wants to see him fucking fight, so they don't want to put him in there with Jones until he does something special. Then he comes out and does this and talks a whole bunch of fucking shit afterwards.
I'm going to have a complete opposite take of what you're thinking I'm going to have. You know, I always take the wrestler's side, but on this side, I can't take Corey Anderson's side. Because he's who the fuck has he fought, dude? Like, he swears he's, like, the number one contender, but if you really look back at it, he beat, Tim Means, or not Tim Means.
Patrick Cummings.
Patrick Cummings.
Glover Teixeira.
Aleer Latifi, and now Johnny Walker.
Now Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker's.
Who the fuck cares?
And before that,
this division has moved past all those guys.
Yeah, and he lost before that back to back to OSP and to
Jimmy Manoa.
Jimmy Manoa, who's now retired. And
OSP is not even ranked.
At the time he
fought
them, they were the upper echelon.
But that's the thing. He's fought all these guys who were at the upper echelon in the division when the division was at its worst, and everyone said it was the worst division in the UFC.
Yeah.
And all these guys that have now inserted their name in this division, he's not fighting them. He's fought Johnny Walker, who's the lowest ranked guy of all the guys who have come into this division. Yeah, if you look at it, he's the lowest ranked guy. He's the only guy who's not in the top 10 in this whole division. Yeah, he's the guy everyone said could possibly knock Jon Jones out. Sure, who cares? But he's also in the infancy of his career. Like, who the fuck has Corey Anderson fought? Nobody.
Nobody of significance.
Yeah. Nobody. If you look at Dominic Reyes and all these guys, they fought the Ozdemirs and the actually top five ranked guys in this division. Yeah. Aleer Latifi was ranked 7th when he beat him. Congrats. Aleer Latifi is now unranked.
Jimmy Manoa was retired.
Jimmy Manoa was retired. OSP is, I don't think he's ranked anymore.
Patrick Cummings is not ranked.
That's yeah.
Is he even in the UFC anymore?
I don't think so.
Patrick Cummings in the UFC?
Possibly, but I can't imagine for any other reason but to be a journeyman.
He's certainly not in the top 15.
Yeah, no way. But here's the thing. Is like Corey Anderson's out here swearing he deserves a title shot. Dominic Reyes, who's actually put together a legitimate resume of guys.
Yeah.
Or a guy like, come on, dude. The fuck out of here with that shit. Fight Thiago Santos. Fight someone like that. Fight someone who is in the top five, who's new in this division, that you claim you're dominating. This is what's wrong with the UFC now. It's not, like, if you're going to have this ranking system, fucking use it. Stop making it, like make these guys fight. If you want to get up higher in the rankings, you don't get to just have a great showing against the number 11 guy in the division and go, look at that. I'm the number one guy now. Like, what does that mean you're the number one guy? You just fucking just showed up the 11th guy ranked in the division. Congrats. Like, go do that against the fourth. Go do that against the third.
Absolutely.
Your strength, like, there's parallels to this in, like, college football. It's like, your strength of schedule matters. Like, like, you know what I mean? Like who you fight matters in this sport. And all these people that just put together these win streaks and just swear they deserve a title shot, who are you fighting?
can't deny that, my man. For real.
Like, for real. All right, well,
you want to talk about that Brad Tavares, Edmund Shahbazyan fight?
Yeah, Edmund Shahbazyan.
Of what's left on this card.
What's
all
next.
The fights were pretty good, but that fight really stood out to me. Brad Tavares came into that fight. I would think he was favored. I don't know. I mean, he's certainly a solid test for a young up-and-comer like Shahbazyan. And holy
dude,
shit, he
Shahbazyan just fucking smashed him.
Oh, my God.
Smashed him.
Wow.
Shahbazyan's legit, yeah.
He is.
Yeah, like I was just talking about, this is a guy that maybe, like, these are, this is what I was just saying, man. Like, these guys are going to all have to fucking fight each other, man. Like, these guys are all in now. 185 is where the youth is at right
now.
Yeah,
he's not ready for any crazy title bullshit now or anything. He just needs a couple more fights, but damn.
He needs a big fight next, though. He needs a top 10, maybe a top 5 opponent.
I got to be honest, Paul, man.
You know, I doubted him.
We've
I'm not
seen
gonna
this
lie
kid a lot. We sat right next to his family at the Tough finale. I thought I think that was his UFC debut.
Yeah, against the dentist.
Yeah, and I thought he was going to get his ass kicked because who is he with? He's with Edmund Tarverdian, yeah. Ronda Rousey's former trainer, the guy who wrecked fucking
Ronda
Travis
Rousey's
Brown.
Career and Travis Brown. Yeah.
Oh my God! I mean, I'm sorry, but his track record is terrible. I thought this is going to be some other bullshit.
But his own talent is shining through.
But holy shit! I'm a solid believer. Now we've seen him fight third or fourth fight in the UFC now.
I think fourth.
Fourth.
Fourth, yeah, because he beat the dentist, Jack Marshman, and one other guy.
Yeah.
He's a tough motherfucker. He looks great, yeah. He just schooled
him. He had
that
split decision against Darren Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's
the one decision he's had. Everything else has been a fucking first round finish.
Yeah.
And he had that split decision. I think that might have been the first fight we seen.
Yeah, that was the fight we saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I wasn't a believer then either, because I thought honestly he lost.
He was coming off the contender series.
Yeah, coming off his contender series win.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But no, I'm a believer now. God damn.
Yeah, he's a tough motherfucker.
Legit.
He's so big too. I think that's like a huge like part of it. Is like he's got a good frame. Like he keeps good distance and his kicks are fucking powerful. Holy shit. That way he set that kick up with that jab and then just came right behind
He's a very intelligent fighter, too.
Hell yeah.
Beautiful.
And he's got great jiu-jitsu on the other side, too.
He does.
He's a scary guy, dude.
Too, not just KO. So.
Yeah.
I think it's just one, but still.
Still.
He's got a recent
It was in the UFC.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. So definitely one to keep the eye on. 185, like we've been saying, is looking fucking juicy.
It's just the next man up, you know what I mean? So there's actually one more guy I do want to talk about from this fight. And Rosenstrike. Jardinho Rosenstrike, that's his name.
Yeah.
He's a fucking dude.
We
couldn't
pronounce that.
He is fucking powerful. Holy shit.
Yeah, he knocked out Arlovski, former champ, heavyweight. First round.
He slept him.
Slept him.
The first guy in 3 years. Too. First one to knock Andrei Arlovski out in 3 years. Isn't that crazy to think that Arlovski hasn't been knocked out in 3 years? The last time someone knocked him out was no one other than Ngannou.
Jesus, man.
Dude, this guy is fucking looking tough. He could be the next Ngannou right here.
He could be. He seems
Imagine that.
Legit.
Rosenstrike versus Ngannou.
That's looking like that could be a dope fight. Let's see who he gets matched up with next. But
yeah,
he seems legit.
He looks like he's going to be someone to be reckoned with. So let's talk about next weekend. That kind of wraps up the UFC 244.
Yeah, I mean, Lyman Good looked good in his victory over
Chance Encounter. He fucked him up.
But damn, I just want to ask real quick, how is Lyman Good making that weight? How is he making 170. Did you see how big that
is? I thought he fought 205. I'm just kidding.
Right. He's 6 feet
yeah,
fucking
dude, he's
tall.
He's fucking savage.
You think he's bigger, he's short, right? Because you see how big he is.
He's
fucking
a big motherfucker.
6 feet tall. When he was standing next to Joe Rogan, I was like, Jesus Christ, Joe Rogan's like 205, 215, something there. Rogan's thick as fuck.
Didn't Askren beat him? In Bellator?
I don't know.
think so.
I think he might have, but Good was, you know, I think he's evolved a bit because, God damn.
He's, yeah.
He has some power.
I don't know, though, but he's also coming off, like, what, two fights ago he got subbed by Damian Maia pretty quick. So.
Oh, I'm not saying he's ready for a title shot, but I'm like.
Oh, yeah, he's a big motherfucker for sure.
Like, just damn, dude.
Yeah. So, but yeah. That was a bad motherfucking card, I guess.
Let's talk about next card, which is a UFC fight night taking place in Moscow.
Yep. Originally to be headlined by Alexander Volkov versus Junior Dos Santos. But have you seen Junior Dos Santos' nasty-ass picture of his leg?
Yeah, he's got serious staph infection.
Serious bacterial-eating fucking leg infection, dude. That shit is disgusting. It's
horrible. You can look it up on Instagram,
don't
folks,
do it. If you really
want to feel gross about things.
Yeah, if you really want to second-guess.
Yeah, he's no bullshitting with this
taking
one.
Taking a shower.
Not that he ever was. I'm just saying. That's a sick infection.
It's disgusting. Horrible. So, after Greg Hardy had some unfortunate outcome after his fight last week. Didn't really get, you know, damaged at all. And now he chose to step in on short notice to fight Alexander Volkov in the main event.
A fight that I sincerely hope that he loses in a terrible fashion.
But Alexander Volkov has also notoriously not handled extreme aggression very well. He's able to win the technical striking fights and the fights where he's able to set up his jab and set up his punches behind it. But
anybody's gonna bully him. And
he's not very good. Like when Derek Lewis bullied him, it showed a lot of his holes.
Well, we'll see. It's a big spotlight for Hardy. I mean, if he wins here, he's gonna earn himself a real fight. Possibly, you know, like we were mentioning earlier with Derek Lewis.
Definitely going to get a number next to his name if he wins this fight.
I would be shocked. I guess we'll be fucking talking about it if he does. But honestly, I don't hide my disdain. I hope that he fucking loses, and I hope next week we can be like, yep, this fool got exposed.
Well, let's talk about what I really see as the main event of this card. A fight that was supposed to be on the Boston card, but unfortunately it had to be rescheduled to Moscow. We got Calvin Kattar versus Abit Magomedsharipov. Kattar coming off that KO of Lamos, and Abit coming off the win of Jeremy Stephens.
Yeah.
This fight has some serious implications behind it.
Yes, it does. Because shortly after that will be the Max Holloway fight.
And shortly after that, we'll also have the Brian Ortega zombie fight.
And that's going to shake out a lot of these contenders for the next 145-pound title fight.
So let's say one of these young guys goes in there and really puts on a great performance. We could see either one of them having some kind of claim to be in the next guy.
Yeah, we sure could.
Or they should just all fight each other.
I'm liking featherweight a lot right now, too.
It's another one with a lot of youth, you know?
A lot of people think that because of who he is, Max Holloway is just going to run through Volkanovski because he's just another, you know, Chad Mendes, Frankie Edgar-style wrestler, puncher. But I think he's going to have his hands fucking full. I think this guy's a bit different than these other fighters because he's built differently. Frankie Edgar's a guy who has always been a small person. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't mean height-wise. I mean, he's never been a big, thick dude. We're talking about Volkanovski's a little bit different because he actually used to be a gigantic fucking guy. He was up well over 200 pounds. He played fucking rugby. Like, he's fucking was a big fucking dude.
Yeah.
Who now lost a lot of weight, muscle weight, and size, and fights at 145 pounds. And I think that makes his power a little bit different than these other guys have. And I think that if Max isn't careful, he could get fucking slept.
When have we ever seen Max even rocked, though? Like, other than Dustin Poirier, but then, like,
but he just
was anyone ever worried that he was going to get finished ever then? Not really. It was just like, whoa, he got dropped. So, in all honesty, I don't think...
I'm not putting my money on Volkanovski yet. I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park.
Yeah, I think Holloway's going to win.
We'll talk about it more as that fight card approaches because it's a hell of a fight card. The December 14th card here in Las Vegas, headlined with three title fights and a fucking killer card all the way down. I mean,
Well, let's get back to this card, though. Let's talk a little bit about these two guys. I mean,
about
Calvin Kattar's a guy who's
a beat.
Yeah, Calvin Kattar's a guy who comes in and he's got a lot of hype behind him right now. He's got a lot of power in those hands. He's got crisp boxing and he's got a strong, strong fucking. He's got a big following behind him on the East Coast. Like that, if this fight were to happen in Boston, that would have been a big, big moment for him. And unfortunately, it's going to be in Moscow, which means if you're on Zabit's side, yeah, it's going to be a huge moment for him. But what a dog, though, to fucking accept this fight, to go from your hometown to your opponent's hometown.
Absolutely, man.
Well, not necessarily his hometown, but you know, his country.
Well, as close as you can get in this instance. Right? I'm going to load up some of these Paris OG French cookies.
So you know what I mean? Like, Calvin Kattar is just one of those guys who's just a fucking dog. And I think he might have his hands full here because Zabit is an animal. And he's super unpredictable. And he looks for finishes everywhere.
Yeah.
He's looking for a finish no matter where he's at. Whether they're on the feet, on the ground, scrambling, he's always looking to finish.
I'm more excited about that fight than the Hardy fight, just on a skill
Absolutely,
level.
Yeah.
100% agree with you there. I do not really care for how this bud tastes. I got to be honest. This Paris OG French cookie shit. I don't know. I mean, it's not horrible. It's not like the worst weed I've ever had. It's not bad. It's cured good. I don't really care for that fucking taste.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's all right.
It doesn't have that.
A little bit.
Yeah. In a negative way, not like a pleasant. Like we were talking earlier about like a hoppy.
Yeah, no, it's like bitter.
This is like bitter, like umami bitter.
Yeah, like tastes like blasted. I'm just kidding.
It's not that bad.
I'm just kidding.
But it's not good. It's not like damn, that's delicious weed. Not even close.
Well,
who do you like? You think Zabit's going to pull it off, or do you think?
I think Kattar shocks the world. I think Kattar beats him.
I got to pick Zabit.
By knockout.
Whoa.
Imagine if Kattar knocks Zabit out in Moscow. It'll be like Rocky 5 or whatever it is. Rocky 4.
That'd be the shit.
Dude, or if Greg Hardy goes in and knocks out Volkov, because Volkov is like Dolph Lundgren reincarnated in the UFC.
But Hardy ain't no fucking American hero. He ain't no Rocky Balboa. Rocky Balboa would beat the ever-living shit out of Greg Hardy in movie world.
In movie
world. In fucking movie world. Rocky Balboa would destroy Greg Hardy.
In movie world.
You know what I'm saying.
Sure.
In this fictitious fucking matchup of a fictional character.
All I gotta say is bring your inhalers, because shit's gonna go down. Imagine he goes 5 rounds. That'd be crazy.
That'd be crazy.
And wins the decision. If he does that, what will you do if he does that? We gotta put something on this.
I will say.
No. We got to put something on this. We're making a bet here.
You're betting in Greg Hardy's favor, hoping that he wins so you can take advantage of me and that what a terrible situation that would be. Just for the sporting world in general.
If Greg Hardy wins 50-45, you got to cut your pinky off.
I'm not going to agree to that. It's heavyweight. 50-45.
I
got to cut my pinky off.
Yeah.
That's probably be a pretty safe bet, honestly. And what do I get if I'm not cutting off my pinky?
You get so to keep your pinky.
Things in my favor.
You get to keep the pinky.
10 G's?
No. 10 grand? What? No.
No, grand. 10,000.
If Greg Hardy loses?
No, if he wins. Loses.
If he loses.
I keep my pinky.
Fuck are odds are these? The fuck are these odds?
I lose my pinky. What's my pinky worth in the monetary?
$2.
Oh, man, that's terrible. Terrible.
And not even dollars. I'm talking bucks. Jump on my back, bro. I'll buck you twice.
Dude, let's be honest. Well, Greg Hardy's not beating this fucking guy.
Yeah,
it'll be some Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson fucking.
I don't think
bullshit.
That level.
He's
I think it'll be more
knockout.
No, that bullshit. It won't be that big of a fucking upset.
Bowl into him and fucking KO him real quick is his only fucking chance.
Yeah, and it could happen.
Smart enough to fucking.
This is MMA, dude. That is not. It could happen. Yeah,
have that happen. It's MMA. He's a live dog.
Volkov is not smart enough. He fucking got hit with the same 1-2 for 3 rounds and then got knocked out with fucking 7 seconds left. How smart is he? Not that fucking smart. It very well can happen.
The only reason that I am so suddenly gung-ho on this guy is because he's fighting Greg Hardy, who I hate, and I wish he'd get his ass kicked every time he goes out. So, yeah, I'm saying a lot of bullshit that ain't true about old Alexander. But
old Alexander.
I think he's going to kick his ass. He better kick his ass.
You better.
He better just go out and fucking shame this fool.
Yeah, he's probably going to win. Or he's going to lose 50-45. And Greg Hardy's going to sub. No, Greg Hardy's going to submit him.
Oh, yeah. With some complicated shit, right?
He's going to hit him with a. He's gonna hit him with an Imanari roll and fucking hit him with a leg lock.
Imanari roll into a leg lock, yeah.
That sure. Should be funny. Imagine if he did that. I'd be like, what the fuck, dude? Greg Hardy's going to be...
Imagine this kid keeps...
Dude, if what if Greg Hardy beats Stipe?
What if he becomes heavyweight champ and just reigns forever and he goes down as the GOAT of fucking MMA? Greg Hardy, no doubt, he was the best there ever was.
Best on the streets, best in the crib. Fucking Greg Hardy's undefeated in the house, undefeated in the octagon, dude.
You don't take no shit from nobody. Not the bitches.
Dude, he's the intergender champion. Greg Hardy's Greg the intergender Hardy's, champion, yeah, dude.
Fuck Cejudo. He can't even call that shit. Greg Hardy's already won that title. He took that shit off of Floyd, right?
Took that shit off of Floyd.
At least when Floyd fucking beats women, they're fucking... Floyd is a wee man.
Yeah,
fuck. And it's like, I would hope they can fight back.
Floyd's their same size. Fucking.
I'm not excusing Floyd Mayweather. He's a piece of shit, too. He's I'm a just piece saying. Of shit. Like, I had someone ask me the other day, like, well, you don't seem as mad. Like, you watch Floyd and Connor. You weren't bitching about Floyd's wife beating all the time. Well,
you're right. I was.
I was pretty steady. We talked about it in the lead up to it on this show. But I feel Greg Hardy's is worse because he's 265 pounds and, like, 6 foot.
Well,
five,
have you ever read, like, the details of his, like,
and his girl's like shit. Tiny.
Yeah, have you ever seen the pictures and shit? He beat her up pretty bad.
Seriously.
Like, and supposedly laid her on a bed of guns and told her if she went to the police, he'd kill her.
Yeah, and she believed that enough not to go back to fucking court. I mean, apparently. Well, allegedly, whatever the
settled,
fuck you gotta say.
They settled outside of court.
Yeah, whatever. I just can't excuse
Which means it. He handed her a year of his NFL salary and moved to MMA.
I don't know. I was praying that God Connor would knock Floyd's fucking ass silly, too.
Yeah. We'll see. I'd like to see Derek Lewis fight this guy. I think Volkov is probably going to lose, dude.
Oh, God. I'm not picking that. I can't. That fucking wraps up that card next week, though. There isn't a whole lot else on that card. Honestly, that is a bunch of fighters I've never... There's a handful I've heard of.
Yeah. They're all right.
They're all probably pretty talented.
It's a,
honestly.
You know, it's a...
It's
a
Eastern Bloc.
Yeah, it's just a classic... It's a classic card of, like... Like, when you go to Europe, it's a bunch of European fighters.
It's tailored to the area.
Yeah, it's the area. You know?
Shitting on these guys. There are actually probably a fucking lot of great fighters on there.
I
don't know who any of them are.
Yeah.
We'll
see. Hopefully they make some noise and we find out who they are.
Right.
You know?
Nice thing is, we get it, I think, at like 11 o'clock out here in Vegas. So
is it?
It's another Saturday.
Oh, it's another one of those?
Yeah.
Ah, what?
I'm going to hit this ball.
Damn, right. You're going to wake up to Greg Hardy winning, dude. How does that feel? You're going to wake up to the news of Greg Hardy winning. You're going to be like, ah, fuck. My day's ruined.
Oh, hell no. No, you can't ruin my day. My opinion of fucking Alexander Volkov will be ruined, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure. But I think that was ruined a long time ago for me. All right, well, I think that wraps today's show up.
Yep, I think so. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If it's your first time listening to us on WBUZ 95, that's where you can catch us, 6 p.m. Thursday nights. That's West Coast time. Was it 9 p.m. Eastern time? You can also find video on YouTube, podcast, wherever you get your podcast from. Where can they get all that info?
SWATMA.com. Head over to Instagram. Follow us. You know, drop a comment, like, all that good shit. Buy a t-shirt, support the podcast. Winter's coming, you know, so maybe buy yourself a jacket.
Absolutely. Holiday season around the corner.
Yep.
Get yourself some good weed.
Smoke yeah.
that shit.
Smoke some fucking weed, dude.
Peace.